The kitchens of the chateau were busy. The gambling tables demanded a constant supply of drinks and petit four. Jean Rollet, the chef, and his staff would be working all night until the very last guest had left or retired. The arrival of two more in the kitchen went almost unnoticed, except as extra pairs of hands to help.
"Hey, you there!"
a valet shouted at Yan.
"The Viscount needs this tray taken off him at once."
Yan shook his head. "We're the entertainers, hired for the Count's show." The valet threw up his hands in disgust.
"What are you doing in here, then?"
Yan felt bewildered. He'd never been in such a large kitchen before, with servants running backwards and forwards, the chef swearing and stamping his foot, bells ringing, the noise, the smells, the heat. It was like a furnace. Tetu started to sway. He was going to fall over if he didn't sit down. Yan grabbed a stool.
"No, you don't,"
said one of the cooks, snatching it back and lifting her wooden spoon as if it were a weapon.
"Away with you, gypsies."
"We have to get back to Paris."
"Well, what are you doing asking me? Do I look as if I have a magic carpet?"
Then, seeing the state of Tetu, she softened.
"You'd better go and ask the coachman in there."
Yan helped Tetu through the kitchen to a small antechamber where a group of men were sitting at a table.
"My friend needs to sit down," said Yan,
and one of the men pulled out a chair for him.
"He don't look too perky. What's wrong with him?"
We need help. Are any of you Paris bound tonight?"
"Well, not if I can help it," said one of the men. "With luck, I'll be playing cards till dawn and then some."
Suddenly, Yan felt as if he had hit a wall. Just when there seemed hope they might escape, all was lost. Time was slipping away. He knew it would not be long before the Count found out about the secret passages.
"Here,"
said a man with a shining bald head, pouring some wine into a glass.
"Give this to Titch. He looks as if he could do with it."
"Thank you,"
said Yan, helping Tetu with the wine. Slowly he began to look more like his old self.
"Has he always been that small, or will he grow?"
asked the bald-headed man, laughing. If Yan had been given a gold coin every time he had heard Tetu insulted, they would be rich by now. Although it riled him, he knew better than to react. A footman opened the door and poked his head round.
"The Vicomtesse de Lille will be staying."
"Good to know it," said her coachman. "First sensible thing the old bat's done in ages."
"You think so?"
laughed the footman.
"Well, she wants her pet monkey brought back from Paris. She thinks it'll be lonely."
"It's not your night to form, my old friend." "Hasn't she seen the snow outside?"
said Dufour, gesturing towards the window.
"That's why she wants her monkey."
"Ah, well," sighed Dufour. "Here we go again. I'll tell you this much,"
he muttered into the last dregs of his wine.
"One day I'll be my own master. No more of this come here, go there, lucky you have a job nonsense."
All the men laughed.
"You know what you can do,"
said the bald-headed one.
"Write all your grievances out and send them to the king."
"That's a good one," said another. "Maybe the king will be able to get her to behave."
Everyone burst out laughing. Everyone except Dufour, who looked furious as he pulled on his heavy coat, loath to be leaving the warmth and comfort of the kitchens.
"To make matters worse, the roads aren't safe these days, what with all the bandits and the brigands,"
he grumbled. Yan seized his chance.
"Well, we will keep you company."
"What? Take a couple of gypsies like you? Forget it."
Would money change your mind?" asked Yan.
"Would the man in the moon giving me a silver eye make me think different?" "Of course it would."
As if from thin air, Yan conjured up 5 coins and handed one to Dufour. He looked at it carefully, then put it in his mouth and gave it a good bite to check its worth. He didn't know what to make of this strange pair, the street urchin and the little fellow with the girly, squeaky voice.
"Where did you get this kind of money?"
he said.
"We were brought here from Paris to entertain the guests. We were paid handsomely for our trouble,"
said Tetu.
"Then where's your driver, Titch?"
"We can't find him. He must have left earlier to avoid the worst of the weather."
Yan knew that Dufour was wavering between doubt and the certainty of the coins that he held in his hand.
"I'll give you this now, and as much again when we reach the city. Is that fair?"
"All right," said Dufour reluctantly. "As long as you don't tell anyone. The old bat's most particular about who's allowed in her carriage. Monkeys, yes. Dwarfs and dogs, no.